Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Commander Rob Hansen, Nancy Hansen, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Joe is frozen. I'm going to take over and pretend I know what I'm doing.
He might be in labor because it's Labor Day, and I'm afraid of that.
Before we get going on this, we do what we ought to do. Hey, am I back?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, well, welcome again, folks. Let's see here. Are you still with me? Rob's smiling.
Yes, I'm always smiling.
All right. Hey, welcome to Raising Expectations. I'm going to say this faster. You got to listen twice as fast. Just in case we have a problem. No, in all seriousness, we've got a great program for you tonight. So we're anxious for you to know the team. Most of you do, but each week I get great comments back from you. Of course, we have on our co-host team, Dr. Paul Hall, who is a theologian and a retired pastor. And Paul theologues every day, so he's retired. Actually not, he's still rolling as a theologian, a friend to many, many people.
Wag.
Frozen again.
Okay, let's introduce ourselves. So, Stephanie, Craig Thayer, we bring health, hope, doctor. How about you guys, Rob and Nancy?
Yeah, Nancy, I'm a nobody.
Also, we have Rob. Naval Commander Robin.
Oh, there you go.
Go. Hey, Rob, go. You were perfect.
Well, hi, guys. Girls.
Introduce yourself.
I'll introduce myself. Okay. I'm go Nancy's ahead, husband. And very proud to be her husband.
Mike.
And very relieved to be her husband.
Very much.
Yeah. She took me out of my chains earlier today so I could be ready for the show.
Excellent.
And the suit jacket and the padded room. So.
Oh, thank you.
Back to you, Dr. Joe.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad I'm here. I'm going to talk easy. We've got Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. That's our Georgia.
We need to cut off Pastor Joe. He's, nope.
I don't know.
Sorry, has anyone ever had a technological problem when you're in an important meeting? I know this.
I'm worried about maybe a glue sniffing issue or something. I don't know. I'm just kind of concerned.
My connection, I'm wearing a peach tie and they're on it at night. TJ, if you're there, hopefully they can hear me. I have no idea what's going on here in Sacramento tonight. So I don't know why we're having troubles here.
Well, we got Michael.
Yeah, introduce
Thank Michael. Heavens.
Michael, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Michael.
Yeah, Michael Carlin. I work with Joe Collins, who is a congressional candidate, and I followed him in a documentary called Minnesota, the Modern Day Selma, in the immediate aftermath of the murder of George Floyd.
Mm-hmm. And he got arrested for that, didn't he, Michael?
He did get arrested, and I videotaped him being arrested.
Well, I don't know if we'll have the film of that, but, you know, I find it strange how, you know, this George Floyd got, you know, millions of dollars and a carriage funeral, and those 13 Americans who died in Afghanistan, there's been no coverage at all.
There's not going to be coverage, unfortunately, because they keep the politics too, you know, embroiled in this, and they're not going to get into Afghanistan now. And that's what Joe wants to talk about when he comes on in a few minutes.
Good.
Okay, good.
Michael, could you give us the title of that documentary again?
It's called Minnesota, the modern day Selma. And Joe actually gets arrested because he's trying to stop one of the protesters from attacking the police.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Really?
Wow. Isn't that something? Wow, that's really something. Well,
this is, you know, this is interesting because, you know, last time we talked to Joe, none of this stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then just to find out, you know, the, you know, months later, now, you know, it's just, it's,
well,
it's horrible, and it's, yeah, you know, it's like something.
All right, well, Joe Collins said.
And we think that, again, I have a theory that Joe Collins was robbed, and maybe, Michael, you might agree with that, because
I do agree with that, and I know quite a bit about it. In fact, I've analyzed all the election data.
Oh, good.
I hope definitely we was.
That.
Yeah. He definitely was robbed.
Yep.
In this election contest.
Yep. And how did that happen exactly,
and
Michael?
He's not the only one, actually.
No, he's not the only one. I mean, obviously, a lot of very strange things happened last November, from the presidential election on down. And a lot of us normal Americans suspect a lot of bad things happen and illegal things. And I suspect Joe was one of the victims of some really nasty cheating that's been going on.
Well, I would just say this. I don't think it has worked for anybody to be represented only on one side of the aisle. And I think we should be infiltrating both parties, being in every count room that we can possibly be in to actually see the votes counted. And mm-hmm. we should be making assignments at the dinner table as to who's going to do what. We should be in every precinct. We should be in every school board. We mm-hmm. should be in every city council. And, you know, we need to be represented every place we can, and including in both parties.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's just not working for us to allow one party to have representation and the other party, you know, we're not represented there. And so, you know, I know that's not really a popular view, but I would just say, you know, those count rooms are very important, and we got to be in those count rooms.
Well, yeah, and again, it goes back to what, Joe Stalin said, it's not important who votes, it's important who counts the votes. And
yes.
I expect that our Democrat, I don't even want to call them friends, have infiltrated the major voting areas in the country, which also includes following the money. And it would be very interesting if we had any journalists in America that, you know, would, I don't know, do their jobs, maybe do some research and find out, well, gee, who paid who at the state level, whether it's the state secretary of state, the recorder of elections, and because a lot of things are happening at the lower level that nobody's recording. And I suspect that that's where all the bad things are happening, but nobody is talking about it. Nobody's reporting it. And, you know, you can't trust the media for anything.
Well, I believe that California is a red state right now. Mm-hmm. And we just have people in power that are at every single position, and they're not going to allow a fair count anywhere in California. And that's what we need to be, you know, worried about mm-hmm. in the you know, near future. And, you know, we need to take back our states, all of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And we're very pro Larry Elder, by the way, Michael.
Yeah.
Well, but I worry that there's things being set up behind the scenes on the recall election that are going to be not in his favor. And I don't want that cheating to happen. And I want to call them out and make sure that anybody who's involved in this, and that's where the media utterly fails. You know, they ought to be looking into this, because that's the whole point of journalists is, you know, to seek the truth. They don't seek the truth anymore. They have an agenda, and it's not on our side.
And you look at the marquee journalists. I mean, some of them making $2 to $5 million a year.
Yeah, they're imagine that.
They're going to push the narrative. They're not going to push what the truth is. You think they're going to go to a lower position and get $100,000 a year when they're getting $2 to $5 million? I mean, that's just not going to happen. And that's what we have going on.
Oh, exactly. And again, I mean, you know, if some journalist, some enterprising journalist could, you know, look into certain bank accounts of certain political figures in each state, they might be surprised to find where some of this money came from and how things ended up the way they were last November. But nobody's bothered to do that. And, you know, most Americans are getting very sick and tired of all this lying and misrepresentation and bad information. And I don't think this is going to end well, but that's just me. I'm funny that way.
Well, I mean, we saw no accountability for the entire, you know, Russian collusion. We heard a lot of things that had happened, but nobody really did any time other than the Trump people.
Yeah.
And they got pardons.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm done talking, by the way. So you guys.
Rob, that's great. I hope you can hear me. I'm trying. I don't know what's happening.
We hear you now.
We hear you now, and I love your tie.
Can you hear me?
Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a great response, so that you know, on Facebook and some other social media.
There he goes. Bye, Joe.
Stop it.
Well, okay. All I want to say, it's nice to see Stephanie and Tank together.
Again.
For a change. Usually you're in opposite sides of the country.
And I'm assuming you guys are in Georgia, together?
Yeah.
We're in Georgia.
Great. All right.
Yeah.
So go ahead. You know.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yes.
No, I think this is very important.
That she was going to talk a minute.
I wasn't sure if you want to try again, Joe. You may be just, may not be your night.
Details. I'm trying to follow this through. I don't know what happened here on this computer. Okay, hang on a minute.
No, you're fine. Don't touch a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're there. You're talking. We see you. Don't touch a nothing.
Yeah, I don't know.
Michael, as a part of Joe's campaign, what is it about Joe that attracted you in such a way that you'd want to support him? Can you speak to that?
Well, I've spent 6 years investigating the murders of Tupac and Biggie. And so I've spent quite a bit of time in the inner cities, and I've been involved in like Compton politics and other places. And Joe, I think, has the perfect balance of being a Republican, but also being compassionate, wanting to bring opportunity to the inner cities. And so I call myself a Joe Collins Republican because he really does want to help his own people. And I firmly believe that millions and millions of people are going to come into the Republican Party from the inner cities, and they're going to come in through Joe because they are tired of what's happening. You know, and it's not working for them to only be represented on one side of the aisle. And they want very much to have economic opportunity. And then they also want to have their vote count. And I think the Republican Party is what offers that to them right now because, you know, they're giving their votes to the Democratic Party, but they're not really being represented there.
Right, right. I agree with that.
No, they're being kept on the plantation. I mean, they're many of them in all of the big cities in America are being given enough money through welfare and food stamps to get by, but there's really no incentive to try to get them to get educated, to better themselves. And again, I heard about the Democratic plantation, which is the same as it was 160 years ago. And what needs to be done, I think, is for the Black Americans, especially in the inner city, we know they need fathers in their homes. We know they need a decent education, and they're not getting it in the public education system. And that's why I think Joe's a perfect candidate. I remember last fall, he had a video where he walked in front of Mad Maxine's mansion and also walked in front of a lot of homeless people's places by the sidewalks and streets. And yet these people keep reelecting her, however legal or not, and nothing changes. And that's where I think a lot of the Black Americans that live down in South Central LA need to just wake up and realize, hey, my life's really not any better. My life is really crappy, and I'm still stuck in the ghetto, and nothing is improving. And yet they never ask Maxine to help them. And even if they did, she won't, I think.
I've got some information for you that's really going to make you upset.
Oh, she already upset, Michael, but go ahead.
Be better, huh?
She spent as much as $700,000 when Joe was polling at 65% to her 35%. She came out and said that he was dishonorably discharged, which he wasn't, and she lied about it in the media. She spent as much as $700,000 to push that lie. And that's what turned the tide in the election. And I still think Joe won, but I think he would have won by overwhelming numbers had she not pushed that out. And we sued, and that suit was dismissed on anti-SLAPP motion to dismiss, because, you know, libel and slander laws in California, it's all state court. Democratic judges, Democratic everything. And
Which court was that, Michael? Which court was that?
It was Superior Court in Los Angeles, and we have filed an appeal. And so we're 40 days away from actually turning in that appeal, and we're going to appeal to the appeals court and then the Supreme Court if we have to.
Good.
So we are definitely challenging this, and we're calling her to account. And we actually got her to perjure herself in the court filings. So, I mean, we have done some good work in that lawsuit.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of lying going on. She's a great example of that. And yet people believe what they're told. And again, you got the media that's, you know, supporting liars like her. And again, you look at the record. How long has she been in Congress now? 30-some, 40-some years? I don't even remember now.
Her lifetime?
Her lifetime, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this has now become a veterans' rights case, because if somebody lies about a veteran in the future, all they need to do is cite Collins versus Waters and say, hey, it's okay to lie, because look, this case, you know, the prevailing party was Maxine Waters, and she was able to get away with it. So we have to take her to task on this. And that's why I think everybody that loves veterans should be supporting Joe Collins in this, because Joe needs the help of other people to stand up for veterans' rights, which he's committed to take this all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. And it's to protect the rights of all veterans.
Are you getting, or is Joe getting the support of the California State Republican Party, or are they not doing what they ought to be doing? Because I'm seeing a lot of weakness in state Republican parties for whatever reasons.
Well, let me tell you a story, okay? I had 200 men that came to me and said they were prepared to leave the Democratic Party and come in mass into the Republican Party, okay? And this was before I got involved in Joe's campaign. And the reality was, I reached out to the LA GOP and I reached out to the Orange County GOP, and I could not make it happen. They had no interest in having 200 Black men come into the party, and I just couldn't make it happen. And that's why I really kind of got behind Joe in his campaign. And because Joe can make it happen. And I was in shock, because, you know, these men told me, hey, we're feeling disenfranchised and we want to have a press conference. We'd love to have President Trump there. and we'd like to have him welcome us into the Republican Party. And I could not make it happen. So I'm not a real big believer in the local party people. And, you know, that's just me personally. I'm not telling you what Joe's opinion is. I know Joe has to work with these guys, but I'm just telling you my personal experience trying to reach out to them and not being able to make this happen. That would have been quite a media event at a time when President Trump really needed some support from the Black community. And it would have been game changing, but I could not make it happen.
Yeah, in Arizona, we see the same thing where the Republican Party really isn't doing its job. They're not aggressive enough. They're not pushing back enough. They're not calling out the lies and the misrepresentations enough. And that's why we need tough, smart, strong Americans.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more with you.
It's amazing to me. It's just disturbing. It seems so simple. The person in a community that's going to support that community, you would expect to be elected, right? And instead, we have these lifelong politicians that I see over and over in seats, and they do nothing. I don't understand how they continue to get reelected. I mean, I looked at Maxine; she's been in since '93, and Michael, when we had Joe on last time, we talked about this, but our oldest daughter went to Dominguez Hills. She was one of the only blonde hair, blue eyed girls there. And she played volleyball for them. And she lived in one of the back houses in Inglewood. And she loves that community. And it's heartbreaking to me that as long as they have a Democrat in today's culture, they're just under the thumb. Nothing's happening for them or to help them progress. And I don't understand why they can't see it or why they're not willing to make change. It's really heartbreaking for me.
Well, a lot of it's generational. And again, a lot of people that have been voting Democrat for the last 60 odd years, this is not your father's Democrat Party anymore. Back in the JFK days, he'd be a conservative Republican. But what's happened, I think, in the late 60s was, you know, we had a change going on between the Vietnam protesters and the Rock Party that ended up going up to New York and had their festival. And I think what's happened is a lot of things have happened. Educational system is lost its purpose, and we've left God out of the equation. And I think that's been a huge price that we paid. I also think that there are some forces at work that are evil. And I look at people like Maxine Waters as evil. I think that she doesn't give a damn about her constituents, but she pretends she does, I guess. And that's one of the biggest tragedies that I see in almost every Democrat in Congress and in the Senate. They pretend they care, but they don't, because all they really care about is power for the sake of power, not to make anybody's lives better or America better. And that's where they don't get it. Those who keep voting for them.
Well, we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars at stake. And whenever you have that kind of money at stake, you're going to have people that they just don't care about selling their constituents down the river. And it's really in both parties. And that's why I say to the people, all of them, I mean, why are there so many precinct chairs that are vacant right now in America? You know, got to take over the precincts, got to get into those count rooms, got to take over every position you can possibly take over at the city council, at the state board of equalization, at every, you know, the building code enforcement, everything to do with all government, got to take over those positions and have the people be about the people for the people, which is what was intended when this country was formed. And you got to have judges, got to have everybody, and they got to resist the temptation for those trillions and trillions of dollars, because, you know, people come into these offices and then they're worth, you know, 50, 100 million when they leave. Mm-hmm. And working on civil servant salaries, it just makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't really. All right. Excuse me a sec.
All right, Paul, Pang, Joe.
Michael, politics, you know, has become like a dirty business. I guess it has. It's had that element for as long as we've had a country. But how do people, in your experience, how do people like Joe, for example, who wants to make a difference? I get the sense, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. How do people like Joe go to national level politics and given the power of the machine not be neutralized in his efforts? You know, is that a fair question? You know, mm-hmm.
Well, I think the key really is for him to bring millions of people into the Republican Party, and for him to just, you know, wield that power and, you know, have marches on Washington and have marches in California on Sacramento or downtown Los Angeles or downtown San Francisco, and just show that the people are behind not just Joe, but all the other candidates that, you know, really want to make a change and a difference. And I'm seeing it. I'm seeing literally tens and tens of thousands of people line up with Joe on many issues. And Joe has made huge inroads. You know, this first run, it was the only run he's ever made for a public office that was serious. And, you know, he made huge inroads and he developed a huge support base. And I'm just saying this next time around, 2022, which is it's not a presidential election cycle, I really see that he has a shot at winning. And there's redistricting that's happening right now. They just pushed that till January. We won't even know what the districts are until January. And then we're in a sprint for the March, you know, primary. And, right. You know, but I think because he's Joe Collins now and he's developed a persona and, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of people behind him, that he's going to easily win a primary. And he's going to go on to victory in 2022. And I think you're going to see us take back, you know, both houses of Congress in 2022. And it may even happen before that, you know, with things that are happening. We don't know what's going on with Dianne Feinstein right now. And there's a number of other things that are in play. So let's just, you know, let's work really hard. Let's have everybody that we know get involved. And they got to go down there and they got to become involved. They got to get into the precincts, get into those
cameras. Can I check in with TJ? I think I have no idea why my computer's
working in Sacramento here. Oh, you need to mute yourself because we hear you trying to call support. It's okay. We see you trying to fix it. Sorry, Michael, we cut you off.
Well, Michael, one of the big things really is getting media backing from, the media. For Joe. And that's one of the biggest nuts to crack. I just find that, you know, whether it's the LA papers, the San Francisco papers, and most of the other ones, they don't seem to support any Republican or conservative that's running for office. And they don't do their jobs in doing any due diligence or anything. They're just, well, they're useless.
Well, they are useless, and, you know, we're not going to get the support from them at all. But what we are going to do is be able to raise money and use that money to be able to actually work in the districts, to put out our own newspapers, to put out our own message, to get radio. And when you look at Joe raised $10.8 million in his last election, and he used quite a bit of that on the media. I mean, so he was extremely successful, and he used that money for the media. I mean, we owned all the radio, we owned all the billboards, we owned it all, and it was quite a huge endeavor. You know, 131 people out knocking on doors, making phone calls, you know, getting out the vote. I mean, it was quite a machine that Joe set up, and it was I was really proud of him. And, you know, he flipped 40,000 votes to the Republican Party, even with the numbers, the skewed numbers that that the county secretary of state put out. Mm-hmm. You know, the county recorder and the secretary of state, still it's 40,000 votes that he was able to flip in this thing. So that's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joe's coming in.
I think Joe may be coming on here soon.
Good news.
There he is! Driving in his car!
Listen, everybody talks about being busy 24/7, but I'm extremely busy 24/7. I've had no days off.
Well, just drive safe. We don't want you getting an accident.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I got the host.
Don't text and drive, Joe, okay?
I never text and drive.
Good. Great to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Hey, you guys have heard enough from me. I'm going to take off and let Joe take over. Thank you so much,
Michael,
for having
me. No,
it's a pleasure to meet you, Michael. Thank you.
Michael, you're staying. You're not leaving.
Oh, Mike. Where are you going, man?
Yeah, you can listen, but
you don't have to.
We're going to make you stay, okay? You got a problem with that? Sorry. All right.
How's your time these days, Joe? What are you doing? What's at the apex of your right now?
Well, the most important thing that we're doing right now is we're traveling across the country and getting people from the inner city actively engaged in politics, not just voting, but running for office, running for local federal office, and getting people adept on the issues that are going on and how these issues affect you. I think that, you know, when you look at the last election, the 2020 election, even when you look at the election with Barack Obama, people voted off emotion. And so we're trying to get people away from voting on emotion and getting involved in politics, because that is fundamentally what affects you when it comes to every aspect of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's Michael was sharing with us how many votes you had flipped last time on paper. We know there was more. How are you feeling coming into this? Do you see even more momentum and more people taking action and getting involved?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I'll start with this. One of the biggest issues that we faced was that in our community, before I got there and took the selection series, there has never been a Republican to run against Maxine Waters, or run in predominantly Democrat district to take that election series. People do it to raise money. People do it for fame. But when it comes to actually caring about the issues that people care for, there has never been another. And so when you see a Joe Collins, when you see a Kim Klasick, when you see a Carlos Galney running a predominantly Democrat district where this is the first time they've ever spoken to a Republican, and to see us continuously engaged, people are very excited because it's something new and something different. At first, you see the apathy there, but after a while, they get used to it. They're like, okay, well, he's a Republican. We see him on a regular basis, and then they actually start listening to our message and start following us. Then they start comparing us. This is the great part. They compare us to the person who they've had in office for the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years, and they see the stark difference between us versus them. Us who are doing it for free, you know, getting legislation passed, being a private person, working on social issues, being a private person, doing things for the community, using our own money, being a private person. And they see, you know, this is extremely different from the person where our tax dollars actually go to take care of these same issues. And people, they appreciate it after a while. They love us. They get extremely familiar with us, and it creates a pathway for us to be successful in future elections.
Joe, did you knock on doors in your district and have problems with people that were just so, I don't know, set in their minds that they wanted Maxine Waters and wouldn't want to listen to anybody else? I'm very interested in what they think.
So that's another really good question. I'm from South Central Los Angeles, born and raised. And so when it came to knocking on doors, I didn't have a problem knocking on doors and talking to people. I had a problem people trusting me as a Republican to be able to provide for the community and be that type of leader that they need and want. So no, I didn't. A lot of times when it comes to Republicans, when it comes to conservatives, you know, we have to understand, and this is not to be racist, the majority of Republicans and conservatives are white. You know, you don't see too many black Republicans. If you do, it's a unicorn like a Joe Collins or something like that. And, you know, I can come through and sweep everybody off their feet. But, you know, to be real, you know, they hear us and they listen to us, but you still have that hint of doubt because it's still new. So knocking on doors wasn't a problem. We were very in tune with the community. We were very heavily involved with the community. I mean, we did food drives. We gave away over 300,000 pounds of food. We gave away over 30,000 backpacks. We gave away, you know, 20,000 pounds of school supplies. We did back to school fairs. We did hiring fairs where we got over 230 people hired directly from our community. And we actually paid for the people to come out and be a part of the fairs. And so, you know, these are the type of leadership that people look for. And so the apathy at first, but after a while, you look forward to this type of leadership and people come to the realization that, oh, Joe Collins wasn't in office. He was running for office, but he cares for the community. So maybe next time we got to give that guy a chance. We compare it to a person like a Maxine Waters or a Nancy Pelosi, Val Demings or something like that. You know?
I have a question.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is me and I'm checking back in. Thanks for those words, Joe. I just am fighting the PG&E, the fires we've had. Looks like they messed the computers up and everything. So appreciate what you said. I can see all of you. So, hey, go right ahead with it. Michael, I'm sorry for this, the way it goes, but PG&E, where are they when you need them? So we'll go right ahead. Go ahead, Nancy. I think you had something you were saying. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I have a question. Joe, do you think in the next election cycle that the momentum has changed with having Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Do you think we've got better chance of like...
Well, there's a fine pair of professionals.
Yes, you know, with what's been going on, I think the tide will be turning in the Republican favor. You know, what do you think?
I think it should. It should change in Republican favor. But one thing that I preach on
and with Gavin Newsom as well.
Oh, yeah, Gavin Newsom.
And with Gavin Newsom as well. And, so I think California is maybe thinking a little differently.
Here's the deal, right? And I don't want to make light of the situation. I don't want to give anybody any type of false expectations. I've been preaching a lot from California, New York, and everywhere in between about engagement. Engagement from the Republican Party into rural and urban America, right? Both what it's saying. You heard Kamala Harris say people in rural America don't know how to use fax machines. And you see Joe Biden on the other hand saying that people in urban America don't know how to use computers. We don't know how to register to vote or get IDs. So what we have here is these type of microaggressions that the Democrats are using to make it as if people in rural America and urban America are illiterate. They don't know what's going on. And if they do know what's going on, they don't know how to get involved. Now, what the Republican Party needs to take advantage of is the actual engagement. And just like the last question you asked me, knocking on doors. It's absolutely important that Republicans get out and knock on doors. It's actually important that Republicans get out and hold rallies and engage with people in urban as well as rural America to be able to connect with people. And not necessarily to push an agenda, but to listen to what the people in these communities have to say and not telling them they're wrong, but tell them, you know what, I understand how you feel. I understand how you can come up with that point of view, regardless if you believe it or not. But also be able to say, you know what, this is how we can fix that. This is what this person is doing. This is what our president wants to do. This is what our pick wants to do. And that's what we don't have. And so what we don't want to do is say, we're going to get Joe Biden out of office, we're going to get Kamala Harris out of office, we're going to get Gavin Newsom out of the office, and fail to engage with people in these communities. And then, you know, what happens? We turn around and get a different Democrat, right? We get a Paffarat in office out here in California because people say, we don't like Gavin Newsom, but we are Democrats. Republicans haven't reached out to us. So instead of voting for Larry Elder, who's a phenomenal candidate, or Kevin Kyle, who's a phenomenal candidate, let's go with a Pat Rat, who's a millionaire Democrat. You know, and so that engagement is going to be the downfall for the Republican Party, because when it comes to engagement, that's something that we fail in every single aspect, whether we have our own personal prejudice, our own personal fears, our own personal ideologies that think we can just pass the great message and people are going to jump on board. And so from my perspective, that engagement, regardless of whatever candidate, that engagement from that candidate, from that party, is what's going to win elections. So I preach day in and day out, engagement, engagement, engagement. You don't have to believe the person you're talking to. You don't even have to agree with anything that it says. All you got to do is engage with them, talk to them, listen to them. And you don't even have to explain yourself to them. I'm a Republican. I want to hear what your issues are. They bitch, moan, and complain. And you say, okay, great. I'm going to do what I can to fix it or find a way to solve that problem. Walk away. That person is left feeling, you know what? He cares about me because he's spent all that time listening to me complain.
Joe, how is Larry Elder doing over there? I love the guy.
Larry Elder, he is a tremendous candidate. He is doing everything that he can do to win that race, as is every other candidate. I take that back. Don't quote me on that. There's a lot of candidates who think they can just put your name on the ballot and use your reputation to push you towards the goal line. But Larry Elder is actually out there working extremely hard, beating with constituents. Larry Elder is working really hard. He's crisscrossing California like I've never seen before, and he's getting that momentum that he needs to win. I think that we as Republicans and conservatives have to go out and collect those ballots, because ballot harvesting is legal in California. We have to be able to combat Gavin Newsom and those games they play out here in California.
Have you met Larry yet?
Yeah, I've met Larry plenty of times. We have a lot of great conversations, and I admire the work that he's done. I admire his opinions and points of views. I think that if everybody gets behind Larry Elder and get out there and knock doors and collect ballots, Larry has a really great chance of being the next governor of California. But that's not where the battle ends, because the following year he has to campaign and run again. And we have to assume that the Democrats are going to put on all the stops. So, you know, unfortunately for Larry, he's in a position to where he has to run two campaigns in one. He has to run a campaign to be the best candidate in the recall election. Then he's going to have to run another campaign to be the best candidate in the gubernatorial election coming up in 2022.
Yeah. The recall election is what, on the 19th?
It's going to be on the 14th.
Okay. All right.
Joe, just a quick question here. Many people ask us, looking at California, it's so easy to be discouraged in many ways with so many people leaving the state. You're an inspiration, brother, the fact that what you went through and what has happened and everything else, you came back up like in true Navy form. The boy pops back up out of the water stronger than when it went under the water. And many people are praying for you. I had three calls today from Eagle Rock and Glendale and other areas down there that you have actually talked with our friends, and they just think you're a champion. How do you feel about California's odds about turning this thing around from red and getting in the direction that can pull people in and keep them in?
Okay.
Well, that's a really good question. And let me start off with this. Being that I ran against Maxine Waters, the second most powerful woman in Congress, it is my duty and obligation to connect with every single person that I can across the United States, whether it be California, Glendale, Eagle Rock, or whether it be in New York City, whether it be in Atlanta, Georgia, Fulton County, Republicans. Mm-hmm. I try my best to connect with everybody, because one thing that I want to do is I want to be able to have different perspectives so I can bring a balance, opinion, and perspective to any type of situation that I'm going to be involved in. Like, just recently, maybe a month ago, I sat on a board of education and moderated that board when it came to the category of critical race theory. And we were able to get a lot of genuine professors and scholars to talk about critical race theory and its origins. With that being said, I think that with the type of leadership that I bring, the type of leadership that people like Larry Elder bring and other conservatives who have been around the block, It's very enlightening for us to be able to have the ability and be blessed with the ability to be on the forefront and talk about issues from the perspective of a person who has been on both sides of the aisle. I've been poor, grew up poor, served the military, and I've been wealthy by, you know, the businesses that I own, and the same as Larry Elder. And so we're able to connect with different dynamics of people on a level that they can understand and have them understand not just the Democrat perspective or liberal perspective, but be able to weigh the pros and cons between liberal, conservative, Republican, and Democrat, and be able to talk about policies in a manner that both persons can understand, that's not confusing. So I think when you take that into consideration and you start expounding upon that leadership and start getting people to follow that type of leadership, the education when it comes to politics, the education when it comes to policy, I think that dynamic that we bring to the table is insurmountable, and we can absolutely put California, if not red, purple.
Wow. Okay. Well, folks, we've got 5 minutes. Somebody want to tank? You have a question, or Paul? Something you want to say?
Yeah, sure do. So, you know, a goal without action is just a dream, right? So, that said, how can us and the listeners support you, help you, get you in office?
That's a really good question. This is a question that I love understanding because, you know, it's really controversial, right? When you talk about how can you support Joe Collins getting to the office, or how you can support Larry Elder becoming a governor of California, I think it all boils down to us being able to put our personal biases aside and understand where each individual candidate is coming from and understanding the district that they're running in, right? So if you are in a Columbia, South Carolina, you have to understand that message is different from if you are running in South LA. And a lot of times we have to agree, and then turn around and tell that person, I understand, but this is why you're wrong. And so our messaging is extremely different because in order to flip seats, we have to target the people who live in our communities. I know a lot of times, you know, we meet people or I hear people tell me, you sound like a liberal, or you're fake because you're not 100% on this or 100% on that. We have to be legitimately down the middle of the road with our thinking, because when you talk about a representation, this is one of the biggest issues that I have with whether you talk about Leader Kevin McCarthy or when you talk about Liz Cheney. Our obligation is to represent the people who live in our district. And in a district like mine, people have been brainwashed for 46 years. That's how long Democrats controlled Los Angeles. And so in order to get people back on track and erase that brainwashing, it's going to take the same way they've been brainwashed to snap them out of being brainwashed. The same way they've been taught to depend on the government is the same way that we have to go in to teach them, you don't need the government. And so our messaging is different, but being able to appreciate the fact that we can identify with our target audience, speak that language, but also speak the language so they listen and like us, but we also can sway them to vote conservative Republican, and just be able to agree with that message and come out into our communities and talk to people and engage on a regular basis. That's the best way that anyone can help us get into office, whether it be me, whether it's Larry Elder, whether it's, you know, President Trump in 2024, if he comes out and says he's going to run, or any other person that you like that wants to run for office. You know, God made us all different. The Bible says he made us in his image. And if I'm made in God's image, then the perspective that I bring when it comes to my community is perfect, just like the perspective anybody else brings when it comes to representing their community is perfect. And if we can respect that, then I think that we can move further.
Amen. Well, folks, that's great, boy, I feel like we should close the program later with On the Road Again. You're terrific, Joe. You talk and just carry on everything while you're driving along. Keep your eyes on the road. But yes, Rob, I want to thank you and Nancy and Tank and Steph and Paul. Sorry we had a little trouble with this program tonight, but I want all of you to know next week, we're going to be putting up some information about Joe Collins. We're going to try to talk to Michael and get you back within a couple of weeks here so that we can recover some information. And next week, we've got Dr. James Robbins, the author of Erasing America. Joe, he's a great guy. You'd really like him.
Where did he teach? Somewhere on the East Coast, right? Rob in Georgetown or somewhere back there? Is it Pennsylvania? Maybe it's Pennsylvania. I'm trying to think. But in any event, he'll be with it. I'm sorry. You got that answer quick before they buzz me?
I wanted to mention to Joe, you probably know seconds. This, but the first 23 black congressmen were all Republicans after the Civil War. Including the founders of freedom in the black community. And that's something that I don't think most black Americans really know.
Joe, I'm sorry. We're looking at our time and they're going to buzz us here.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Michael, see if we can't get you back in a week because we'd like to have this set up and really be able to let you cover that. That's a great thought, Rob. Okay. That's a great thought.
I just want to see Joe driving more. You know, yeah. I'm trying to look through his windows and seeing what neighborhood he's in.
It's Los Angeles.
It's getting darker.
All right. God bless and keep you. Joe, may protect and watch over you and all of your folks. We'll be praying for you. Our prayers are going to Georgia with the Thayers, to Arizona with Rob and Nancy, and right up to Southern Cal with Paul and Kelly. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight, folks. What a fun ride. We'll see you next
week. Thanks so much, Joe. We love you.
We love you. Next week.
Thank you.
We're watching again.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Shane.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.